Hebrews 12 and 1, the first part of that scripture, which we want to consider. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, it has more in that particular verse, but I would like for us to talk about being a witness. I know Sister Irma said something about somebody coming up to her in the hallway and asking why she wore that hat, which she doesn't have a hat on. Well, periodically, I have people come up to me and say something about my hair. And generally, it's the middle-aged group and older. I don't find too many real young people that find the way we fix our hair as attractive. But oftentimes I'm just totally unprepared for, if you want to call it a compliment. Well, today I was in a place where there was a lot of people, and we were standing in line and waiting. And sometimes I would feel someone looking at me. And you can sort of feel their eyes. And when you turn, and maybe they smile because they've been caught looking at you. Well, this one lady, she came up, and she was fairly older. Maybe not my age, but she was complimenting the way I fixed my hair. And the next thing she said then, how long is it? I don't always have them ask that question. And I thought, you know, I went ahead and just sort of showed her how long. Is that being a witness? And if it is a witness, what is it a witness of? It's a scripture, isn't it? Well, we don't let our hair grow just to let it grow because we want to necessarily. I'm going to testify to you that for many, many years I knew what the scripture taught about long hair. Is it a doctrine to have long hair? I was sitting here in the service tonight observing our young people, our young girls, and how willing they are to be modest even in their hair and allow their hair to be long. I didn't always let my hair be long. I fixed it up, but it was a little harder to put it up when it got to a certain length, and I would trim it off, and I would feel bad, and I would repent, and then I would try to do it again, and it was one of those things that I did over and over. But there came a time that the Lord dealt with me plainly. And I want to tell about how the Lord dealt with me. Sister Penny Penner and I were working with Sister Velda, and we were helping her can her garden. And so we're out there shelling beans and sitting around and talking as we're shelling, and they said, Sister Maxine, what do you think? Do you think it's okay for us to trim our girls' hair? And I gave my opinion. And I made some kind of an excuse for it. I don't remember now exactly what I said, but shortly after that, Velda realized that she needed some canning lids. And I said, I'll run to the store and get them. And I am not a half of a block away from Sister Velda's house, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you gave wrong counsel. You do not know Sarah, her daughter Sarah. You do not know the effects that that will have in her life. I turned around and went back and told them what the Lord said to me. And I retracted then my opinion. And so I gave the word of the Lord. And that's when the Lord said it to me. This is how you must live. And the enemy said, well, if you don't trim your hair is going to grow to your ankles. And I thought it would. But you know, the Lord doesn't give us more than we're able to bear. And for some reason, I have not trimmed my hair again. And it stays about the same. I don't know if it's just breaking off or what, but it doesn't grow to my ankles. So, a witness. What are we a witness of in this life? The scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they may see what? The good works. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are living in such a diverse world right now, aren't we? And there are many, 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 many people that claim to be Christians. And we have in our hearts conviction of a standard of holiness. Don't we? We do. This is part of living a standard of holiness, is being obedient to what we feel. Not just we feel. It is the witness of the Spirit, a witness to us to be a witness of His Word. So as I was thinking about the event that happened to me today, and it doesn't have to be all hair, I'd like for us to understand that we are being a witness in many things by the Word of God when we are what we are and when we live according to the Word of God. But the thought came to me is, and this lady said, my mother used to fix her hair like that. And that's a lot of things that are said to me, especially when we would go out to Alabama. There's a different culture in Alabama, and there's more people that remember their grandmothers. A lot of times they'll say to me, oh, my grandmother fixed her hair like that, or my grandmother looked like you. Well, see, that's another generation that has moved away. And this woman was old enough that her mother was probably gone. But she remembered something. Maybe her mother believed the Bible and wore her hair long. And when I said that, you know, she came back and said, my mother looked like that. So we are being a witness. They may never come, as the little lesson was, or the little thoughts we had last time. Where do you go to church? Well, we were asked that today too in line. Where do you go to church? Because there's a lot of Baptists that were around, and they were proclaiming where they went. But anyway, Lord, you witnessed to this lady the Word of God. She had to know something was in there for me to do this. It's easy. It's easy to have your hair cut short. My sister one time, and she had her hair cut short like a man, kept it that way. She cut it herself, and she was in my bedroom with me one time when I was combing my hair. And she first of all said, how did you learn to fix your hair that way? And my answer was, well, the Lord helped me to. I believe the Lord can help us in fixing our hair. I really do. I'll finish telling this, and then I'll tell you. She said, well, Maxine, in the front, it looks just like mine, because she combed it back. It was short, but she combed it back. And I said, well, in the back, it doesn't. She needed to be reminded that she was not wearing her hair according to the Bible, you know. But I remember also one time, you know, us women folk know that we have good hair days and bad hair days. And sometimes when you just washed your hair, it's hard to get it back up. And so one Sunday morning, I was having one of those problems, and I had taken my hair down 3 times. It was on the 3rd time, and I was desperate. Time was running out for leaving for service. And I said to Lorne Vance, pray that I can get my hair up. And he did. He got down on his knees, and he prayed for me to get my hair up. And I got it up that time. And then I felt a little bit foolish, and I said, do you think that God really is interested in us getting our hair up? He said, as your faith is, so be it unto you. And I've never forgot that. And so I've prayed at times when it was difficult to put my hair up. And I want to encourage our young people, when you have difficulty putting your hair up, pray and ask the Lord to help you. So I want us to think about, in what other ways are we a witness in the world? A cloud of witnesses. Where else is there a scripture that speaks about a cloud of witnesses? Or it may not use the word witness, but it says clouds.
Hebrews 12 and 9, you said you already used that
word. Yes, Do you know where the other one is? How is Jesus going to come back? With what? With clouds. Is he going to really be in the snowy white clouds of the sky? What does that cloud represent? What? Witnesses. Clouds represent multitudes of witnesses. So when Jesus comes again, when the trump sounds and he appears in the sky, there's going to be all of the witnesses. And what are they witnesses of? What are they witnesses of? That they had their hair long? It's possible to live up to the word of God. The grace of God is available, and it is able to keep you and me in whatever God calls us and reveals to us that he wants you and me to live carefully. There is a scripture that also says, oh, what carefulness! Oh, what vehement desire. Our world is not living carefully. They don't see a lot of things as important. They see them as unimportant. Now, this thought comes to me right now, and it may not be a scripture, and somebody may need to look it up. It could just be a saying. But there is a thought that came to my mind. I actually said it to Warren Vance. He didn't think it was a scripture, so somebody here might. Others may, but you cannot. Is that only a track or is that a scripture? It's a track. Okay? That's probably where I got it. It just came to me as I said that. It's a track. Others may, but you cannot. What does that mean in relationship to being a witness? I don't want us to be comparing each other among ourselves right here. I'm basically thinking of those out there that do claim to be Christians and seem to be sincere, but they're not walking according to the standard of holiness that you and I are so privileged to have a vision of. There could be people out there that are living to all that they know and understand, and God knows, and He's the judge, and I'm glad He is. But I'm thinking about the message last Sunday afternoon that Brother Dan preached here on boundaries. This week, that message has come back to me. You know, you and I have some boundaries in our life. It is the Word of God. It's those places that the Lord has revealed Himself to us, that He has set up boundaries, just like my hair. If I had not responded to the dealings of the Lord, where would I be? But what if I'm trying to still be a saint of God? Where would I be? Because I know there are individuals, and I don't want to single out just trimming the hair. But I know that happens. I mean, it happened in my family. And I was with one of my family members one time. We were at the airport. And here a lady comes up and she starts talking about our hair. And how long is it? She said it to me. And the other one I knew had short hair but just had it put up, but pretended to have long hair to this lady. Now, where would I be? Would the blessing of the Lord be in my life? I want the young people to always get a hold of this. Let's live what we know the Lord has revealed to us. Let's be honest with our own souls. Let's be honest with God, and let's be honest with the people. So, what other kind of witnesses are we being in the earth? It's more than our hair. What else?
If we're not a witness.
If we're not an example of Christ.
I mean, Brother Marty was saying in one of his messages how most people always find fault about things in conversations. Christ never found fault, or when he was put in the spot, he didn't start saying, "Well, it's them and this." And if we don't try to daily die out to ourselves and be more like Christ with love, the caring, then we don't really be an example, because the Holy Spirit's not going to be with us. The Holy Spirit's only going to be with... it's like Jesus said in John 14, in that whole chapter.
Yes.
It's a good example for people to read, because if we don't follow the commandments of Christ, we won't see God, because Christ Himself had examples given to Him by the Father.
Yes.
And He told His disciples that in order for us to see Him or to see the Father, you know, we have to have Christ with us and in us. And the world don't have that. They just believe a lot of these things out here. They just say, if you believe this or that, you're saved. And they're not talking about repentance. They're not really studying the Word of God. That's where all the confusion is.
What was the song? One song we sang this evening in service. Jesus lives in me. If He is living in us, we will be a witness that He is living in us. That He is in our lives, and not we. It's more than talk. the world is able to talk about it. Talk about being a Christian. Talk about Christ. Talk about heaven. They can talk all of these things. But there should be something in us. It should be Christ living in us. To this world I'm crucified. What is that? Are you a witness of being crucified to the world? And if so, in what way? How are we crucified to the world? Irma, how are we crucified to the world?
One thing to me that stands out to the world is when we're under pressure and we don't respond in the worldly way to the pressure. Our witness shines out more then than it does when we're on a soapbox preaching.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our disposition.
How else?
And I know he believed in modesty, but he was emphasizing over and over, how do you respond when you're crossed? Because that reveals what you have inside.
Well, I believe in modesty. I believe that we that are here today, none of us are believing otherwise. But I think what the point that she has brought out, if we respond in a wrong way, it just does away with any beauty of modesty. It's of no value. We can cover ourselves clear to our eyes. The Muslims are doing it, showing only their eyes. But their reputation, and maybe not all of them are violent, but their general reputation is not the fact that they're covering up everything but their eyes. So the Lord wants you and me to be a light in this world. He wants us all to be united together as a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid, that when this one is in public and that one is in public, we may not always have just the right answer, but they can witness. There's a witness that something's different about you in your life.
The world recognizes hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
They may not know very much about godly living, but there is something in them, they naturally recognize a person that's professing and not possessing, because a profession brings guilt, discomfort to someone who is not really seeking. If they're justifying where they are, it makes them feel guilty. So to recognize hypocrisy kind of gives them a leg to stand on.
Yes.
Now, if it's somebody that's really seeking, then they're disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have everything else right on the outside. We can keep a smile on. We can say it all right. But if in the split second, our knee-jerk reaction is carnal.
Mm-hmm.
We can negate everything else that we've been trying to do. So, if it's not something that is a lifestyle and we all can be caught off guard, then our immediate response is to go back and straighten it up.
Yes.
Not to justify it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let not your good be evil spoken of. So what good would we be presenting? Where does it all begin anyway? Doesn't it really begin in the home? The way that we are with our own families, if we can't be there, how can we be out there? When the scripture says for us to walk in love and do good to them, and many times we were thinking of being out there, but it starts doing it right in the home.
Maybe this is off track. 45 years ago when I got married, they taught against the veil when you got married, and I mm-hmm. didn't wear a veil.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't but a short time after that
mm-hmm.
that swept through the church.
It did.
And much more than the veil.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain that to your children when they look at your wedding pictures? And there's other things that were preached from the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a danger if you don't back it, and because that's brought up numerous times when they look at your wedding pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been to these other weddings.
Mm-hmm. You know, my sister, Wanda... As far as I know, she was the first one at Guthrie to wear a wedding veil. Yeah. And she talked to me about it not too long before she died, because she saw where it led to. Just that one little open door. And the rest of her wedding was plain. She did have... three bridesmaids, because he had two sisters and she had one. But the rest of the wedding was plain, and she only had it to her shoulders. And so she talked to me about that. Not too long before she died. And she wondered about it because of where it led. Now, we have a generation that has no question about a veil at all. But there was a question about it back in those days. And the ministers at Guthrie, now this is what she told me, I was too young to remember it. But she said that the ministers at Guthrie got together and discussed, because they found out that she wanted to have a veil. And they discussed it, and they appointed one of the ministers to come to the house and look at it, and he didn't feel that it was out of, it was way out there. It was small, and but you know what? There was something about the beginnings of each one of these things. I want to tell you that my wedding was the first wedding to have candles. Where did it go from there? You see, we can't set boundaries and things get turned loose. And these were things that the saints always held, that we had simplicity. And when I see a simple wedding now, I'm so happy, because I've seen some that's not so simple. Okay, that's my opinion now.
Well, that's the danger of opinions, because that's
yes.
evidently it's
mm-hmm. Well, you know, Linda, this week I've been thinking of some other things that was once taught, and we've slipped away from them. And it was taught not to have... white wall tires. Well, now we don't have, nobody has white wall tires, but nobody's really taking pride in their tires. And maybe that was a source of pride back then. See, you can't take one little section of time we're going to call it culture, because it was sort of that way. White wall tires, you paid extra for them on cars when we were growing up, and it was considered to be really beautiful and flashy. And so the ministers preached against it. Again, the principle was, let's live in simplicity. And I think the Lord wants us to live in simplicity even when we choose our vehicles. Our car out here, our white and gray car, he got it at an estate sale, and he took me over to see it. And a block away, I don't want that gray top. And I felt very badly about it. But now, the other day, I was thanking the Lord for it because it helped me to find my car in the parking lot. There's no other car like mine. So I'm not taking, I've never taken pride in it. But it's just, you know, maybe that's not an issue with some people, but the Lord, the principle here, you be a witness of the simplicity of the gospel. Does that make sense? I could go on and on because I didn't realize she was going to bring that up of something that was taught against, you know, years ago. But there's other things we could name out. Yes?
It kind of goes along with that. The same could be true of two. Let's see. At an early age in life, one child may find a great liking for the color green and be very fond of it. Another child in the same family might have an intense attraction to the color blue. Since neither color is right or wrong, then both of them are equally acceptable. There's no moral value involved in the case. The same could be true of two neighbors who was considering buying a new automobiles. One might give consideration to the available machines and conclude that one particular brand would please him best. His neighbor might consider the same line of machines and conclude another brand to be best. Neither would be right or wrong, for there is no moral value involved in the issue. A great many of life's decisions are of this nature. There are, however, those issues that do possess moral value, and that fact does affect the disposal of the issue. I'm trying to get it where it's short. Let us consider the two neighbors and their car buying. One goes to review the machines available, but no other thought in mind but that of service and comfort. He will select the one that meets his need as the most reasonable price. His neighbor comes along to do his car shopping, but along with his search for utility, he adds other factor. He not only wants service and comfort, he also wants one that will make him stand out in the community when he passes by. So that makes it a moral issue. That those things. Maybe all this is talk about is kind of like that pride and decisions that at one moment it might be just color issue and not a problem, but mm-hmm. then at another moment it becomes I want to be seen, and that's a problem because that God doesn't want us to be like that.
It's a possibility that it comes under those. If we're going to please the Lord, he's the one that knows what's in our heart. He knows that if we would take pride in a situation or a color or a brand or whatever. And I don't think that we can all be, if we put everything and say everybody has to drive a Ford, you know, I don't believe the Lord does that. I do believe there is a standard of modesty. There's a standard that goes, that modest standard is the simplicity of the gospel. And it goes into our lives, I believe. I don't want us to get away from the thought tonight of us being a witness in the world. We're not here to raise up and condemn and you did this and I didn't do that. There are places that Lauren and I will not go, but we don't stand in the pulpit and tell everybody. It's our own personal convictions, and we feel that the Lord would be very displeased if we did that. But I may hear of others going to those places. I don't point fingers, so to speak, or place a judgment on that, but God will judge. He will be the judge. Does that fit in here? Others may, but you cannot. We need to be very cautious, I think, about being in tune with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can say, I don't want you to do this, or I don't want you to wear that. I mean, I've had the Lord to be very specific.
We need to have confidence in and respect
for the Lord's leadership and his ability to give convictions, to know us each one individually and what our weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy for us to bind our convictions on somebody else and feel like, mm-hmm. because the Lord has made this black and white to me, mm-hmm. I can't cross this line.
Yes.
So I want to share with you what the Lord made black and white to me, because I really don't think that anybody else ought to be crossing this line either.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
We all are in different places on our walk with the Lord. There is one standard. There mm-hmm. is one way of holiness.
Yes.
But we must leave room for the Lord.
Yes.
To reveal and maintain confidence
yes.
in our brother, that they are doing their best, they are trying. And when the Lord reveals to them, they can stand on it just like we can stand on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it can chafe us to see other people getting, quote, to do things that the Lord has told us not to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it can cause resentment.
Yes.
It can cause a lack of confidence.
Yes.
The devil can work with that. I've experienced that, I know. He can cause discord among the brethren.
Yes, he can.
That way. There is a right way and there is a wrong way, but when we see our fellow brother trying to live up to all they know, us binding on it, just like if somebody else bound on us what the Lord had not revealed to us yet.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If we change because somebody else is requiring it,
mm-hmm.
the grace will not come with it.
That's right.
It will be a bondage. And when we see somebody else that we have confidence in doing it,
mm-hmm.
it will justify us and we will change.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll be tempted to.
Yes.
But when the Lord speaks to us personally and gives us a conviction. I had a similar experience that you did on the hair trimming thing. And I can't bind that on. I don't.
Yes.
Others, my own children, my own daughters. But that was what the Lord used. He said, okay, so you go, you have yours up, they never see it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're at your house, their house, and it's down,
mm-hmm.
it will justify what you are not comfortable with that they're doing mm-hmm. now. And I said, Lord, have mercy. Forgive me. You let it grow back out and I won't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm kind of like you. I've told him before, Lord, this is not funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting to be a real battle.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to shut her down. It never was this far before when I thought I was maxed out, so I need you to help me here. But it's easy, if we're not careful, to take that and bind it on somebody else.
Yes.
And tell them, this is what the Lord has shown me, and this is what his standard is. But
yes.
If they move because we're telling them, they will not have the grace to do it.
Yes. And I didn't testify to that to make everyone here feel like I'm condemning you, or I don't want that. I only testified to how the Lord dealt with me. And I don't put it out. I believe it's a doctrine, but it is something I think that the grace is there if the Lord deals with you. It's the only way that you can really do it and do it with grace, is for the Lord to deal with you.
We were in Anderson Church way back. This is at the beginning of our time. Right down the street, we went to, that was the first church we went to. And somewhere along the way, somebody, I don't know who said, or who, you know, I can't remember all those things, but somebody said, and in this church, there wasn't, people were wearing makeup. Everybody was different. They all had their own standard, apparently. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't really a standard there. But somewhere, somebody said, there's somebody, people with long hair and dresses, they don't cut their hair and they wear dresses. I don't know where I got that info. It was somewhere talked about or something. I got hold of it and I was like, and so I started asking questions. I said, what is this about long hair and dresses? There's people that only wear dresses. There's people that don't cut their hair, you know. And I couldn't get any answer. Every time I asked that question, people just looked right through me or ignored me or something. It was like she didn't ask anything. I never got an answer, but I kept on asking the question. And finally, Paul Keller, I asked him, and he told me that there was. And I said, that, you know, and I had something smart to say about the dresses. It wasn't nice, so I won't say it. But, you know, because I was in rebellion then, I didn't realize I was, but we were trying to come to God. But we were at the beginning there. So anyway, just know that came to me. And that, I don't know, it fixed in my mind. And it was like, ooh, this is neat, but yet it's not neat, you know. Thinking of being like that was like, ooh, you know, at that time. But just, that was the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just in that, the Jeremiah was showing me on the computer a song. They share occasionally things with me. So he brought his computer back, or his phone maybe, and he was sharing a song with me. And then it showed all the people in the crowd, and this is supposed to be a godly song. And all the people in the crowd. And I was looking at all these people in the crowd, and I was like, oh, these people, they're raising their hand and looking joyful, and yet they have all this on their face, and they look like this, and yet it really looks like they're wanting to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And lately I've been praying, Lord, these people think they're going to go, you know, and won't it be sad to get there, for them to get there, you know, and they've done all this, and they've tried to do all this, and they've tried to show joy and all this, and then God to say, depart from me, you know. Even with me, I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to get there and something
yes.
to be in the way, something to that he would say, I'm sorry, but you didn't do this. or mm-hmm. you weren't like this. I'm sorry. I never knew, you know. So we're all in the same boat. We're all, you know, there. You got to get there, to that place, to want to give it all up.
Yes.
And it takes a lot, hard, long ways sometimes.
Well, the rest of that scripture of us being compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, what's the latter part of it? Let us lay aside what? Every weight. And the sin that does so easily beset us. And I want to tell you, I know you all know this, it's going to take a daily walk. And it's going to take me fighting the good fight of faith to lay hold on eternal life.
Could I comment?
Yes.
On the phrase, others may be, you cannot.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read it in years. But that title does trouble me.
Mm-hmm.
If the intent is just because others are doing it, that doesn't mean that you can.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But when we say others may, but you cannot, that mm-hmm. suggests to me that they're all right in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're not. I know that not everybody has equal light, and some people may be innocent, even mm-hmm. though they're doing things we can't do. Perhaps that's the principle it's trying to teach. But the mm-hmm. wording could be improved upon, and mm-hmm. that wording would be, just because others are doing something, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean you're justified in doing
mm-hmm.
it. Part of the reason that I have that concern is it too easily opens the door to liberty of conscience,
mm-hmm.
and people can use that, say, well, remember, others may, but you cannot, so I can do what I'm doing, even though you feel like the Bible condemns it. And the question becomes, others may do what? They may go to the bar, they may murder, they may steal, lie, cheat. What is it they may do, but you cannot do that?
I haven't read that track, and that just came to me. It actually came to me as a result of Brother Dan's message last
yes.
Sunday afternoon.
And again, I haven't read it in yours, too, but... The,
it's not down that line.
No, it's not.
In which case... The title could be improved upon.
Probably could. But Dan's message last Sunday afternoon, I was so glad that the Lord allowed me to, because I had a situation this week where it was almost like this. I mean, concerning Baptist or another religion. And it appeared that the Lord was just blessing their life. And I'm not saying the Lord wasn't. I'm just saying, had I not heard that message on boundaries, I told Lauren Vance, I said, I'm so glad that we have boundaries. Really what boundaries are is convictions. Convictions are what the Holy Spirit has given us. It's not man setting up boundaries. It's not the church deciding, well, nobody's going to have white wall tires, or I know we don't have that, so I'm using that right now. The church is the bride of Christ, and the members are there, and it says, everyone shall know me from the least to the greatest. And the word says, study to show yourself approved. What do we study? We study the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord. They agree and they come and they minister unto us. That's what we're looking for. And I testified after Brother Dan's message about when I was very sick, had a serious affliction on my body. I knew my family would put pressure on me. And my sister calls, Maxine, I want to know, why will you not go to the doctor? And my answer was, you know, Wanda, I want to go to heaven and I want to go real bad and I just don't want anything to hinder me. That's the answer I gave. And she said, I'll stand by you, but if you'd have said it's because of what the people would think, I wouldn't have stood by you. See, we can't be doing this because of what you're going to think of me. I want your confidence, But ultimately, it's how the Lord thinks of me. That's the bottom line. So, all of these things is still part of our witness. I've been sort of amazed in our discussion this evening that we didn't talk more about modest dress and wearing dresses, because it's so few people. When I went to the, I was called to jury duty a while back, and I just figured I'd be the only woman there in a dress. And I was amazed that there were probably 5 or 6 of us out of 400. That I've been there at jury duty before and been the only one. But there were about 5 or 6 women that had on skirts or dresses. And I was really amazed. So this is part of being a witness, is when we do bear the shame, if you will, or the reproach of not looking like the world and wearing pants. That's part of it. So I guess we'll stop with that, but appreciate the little comments that are made here. I want to be a witness for the Lord. And when I am, I want it to be according to His word, and not some far out cult. We are identified as a cult by some people. Some people that were once with us, that's what they are saying about us. That this is a cult. Do you know they will be judged by that? But we're not a cult. We're living according to the Word of God. Pray for me.